Go to Ezekiel 47. Oh, and then we're going to Genesis chapter 1. There's a lot in Genesis. Glory to God. I'm going to read Ezekiel 47, verse 3. And when the man had a line in his hand, he went forth eastward, and he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. This is Ezekiel walking out in the waters that released from the temple, from the foundation of the temple, from the right side of the foundation of the temple. Out of the right hand of God, the water was flowing. And he brought me through the waters, and waters were to the ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again, he measured 1,000. Notice you go 1,000 cubits. There's a little traveling between the stages. The cubits is about 1.5 feet, 1,500 feet. You get into the ankles, and then you got to go further out. Sometimes people want to just camp out at the ankles, but you go to the knees, and it's wonderful. And then you get out into the loins, the birthing center. That's when things start birthing, when you get out into the loins. And you got to go another 1,000 cubits out. And then he gets into where we want. This is where we're going. Hallelujah. This is where we're going. This is where our vision, our compass is set. He calls me to return. Look at the verse 5. And afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. That's where we want, and waters to swim in. It's one thing to come and drink from the ankle water. It's one thing to get out into the knees. It's another thing to get out into the loins. Each place is glorious when you first get in, but then you want more. But how many of you know there's more? So God takes us out into the waters to swim in. Now notice what happens. As soon as he gets in, I call these the baptism waters. These are the waters Christ came in. He grew up in Nazareth. It was his custom every week to go into the temple. That time he came and said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me." That wasn't his first time to stand up. He said his custom was to stand up on the weekend, on the Sabbath day, and read from the law. He was already versed in these things, but there came a time for his separation and his ordination. And it had to be by water. God took him out of Nazareth and took him to the river Jordan. And when he came in front of John, said, John said, "I got to be baptized of you." He said, no, John. We got to fulfill all righteousness here. I must be submerged in the water. Before God does anything creative, he must put it under the water. Can I have a witness? He puts it under the water. That's what he did. He brought Ezekiel, was the church. He comes back up out of the water, verse 6, and he said, "Son of man, hast thou seen this? As thou seen this?" And he brought me, caused me to return to the brink of the river, and it shall come to pass. Oh, I love it. See, nothing happens with that water until you get baptized in it. Because God takes your dominion. He takes the authority he's given, and he puts you in the water. And once you're baptized, things start growing. I'm not talking about going and getting baptized. I'm talking about going and getting baptized. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's baptism of water where we get baptized. It was a lot more than just death, burial, and resurrection. That baptism of water was being baptized in the creative life. You came out of water. Do you know that? You should know that. You know the amniotic fluid of a woman in the first 12 days, that water, it's all water. And then that fetus grows from that sack of water. Isn't that amazing? We're born out of water. You know, Moses delivered by water, and to be a deliverer by the water, he had authority with the waters because he was born out of the water. His mama put him in the Nile and floated him right down to Pharaoh's palace. I mean, was that a deliverance or what? I mean, Pharaoh commanded all the firstborn to be thrown into the river. So he said, "Throw them into the river." But mama made an ark and floated him. Born out of water, and who else but Pharaoh's daughter grabbed him, and the sister was watching. And then she suggested, when Pharaoh's daughter pulled Moses up out of the water, said, "Hey, I've got the perfect person to help you. I'll bring one of those Israelites, those Hebrews, and they'll come and she'll nurse." And it was Mama herself. She floated Moses down the river, and then Mama herself raised him. But he came out of the water, see. That's his name, out of the water. That's what Moses means. And that's what gave him authority with the waters. Amen? We're going to have authority with living waters. We're going to have to get in the water. Hallelujah. Now watch his creative life coming. He says the river. Now look at this verse 9. "And it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river come, whithersoever the waters come, whithersoever the waters come, whithersoever shall live. Those waters are flowing to the Dead Sea, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters come thither, for they shall be healed. Everything shall live. Everything. Say everything. My body shall live. My finances shall live. My children shall live. Great shall be the peace of my children. My home shall be full of life. This church shall be full of life. Everybody said? Amen. We will live. You're not going to walk around a dead man walking when you're in this water. Amen? Now look at verse 12. And on the banks of the river on both its sides, there shall grow all kinds of trees for food. See, once that baptism occurred, growth began, multiplication began, creative life. Then the Lord told me, he said, the mystery of the creative power of God, that everybody, their brother, their sister, their aunt, uncle, daddy, and mother want. The mystery of creative power. The Lord said, it's in the waters and it's in the deep. It's not until you get into the deep. Everybody is shouting in ankle deep water, God, come and visit us with creative power. And God says, no, you must come out into the deep if you want to see the creative power. Once Ezekiel got out there, the creative life began to flow. And this is reading out of the Amplified. It says, their leaf shall not fade. Your leaf will not fade. Your business will not fade. Your life and ministry will not fade. Your generations will not fade. The power of God and the glory of God and the revelation of God and the blessing of God upon you will not fade. Everyone say, I will not fade. Shout it, I will not fade. Shout it, I will not fade. All that I do shall prosper. Booyah. And he said, the leaf shall not fade. Nor shall their fruit fail. Mm-mm-mm. Fruit will not fail. And Amplified says, to meet the demand. He's talking about the demand for creative life, demand for creative power, demand for all of humanity, fruit-bearing trees that will not fail to meet the demand. This is what I love. Each tree shall bring forth new fruit every month. That means you're going to be fresh all the time. Not going to be operating in stale manna, and you're not going to be operating in dead water, still dead water, stagnant water. You live in Texas, you've seen the ponds during the summertime when they stagnate and that water's not flowing. What happens? Green muck just covers the water. Say green muck. I don't want to look like green muck. Amen. I want that crystal flowing water, flowing, flowing. Hallelujah. Now notice what it says. And it says, each tree shall bring forth new fruit. These supernatural qualities being because the waters came out of the sanctuary. These supernatural qualities are happening because the water came out of the sanctuary. You are the sanctuary of the living God. Here we see a perfect representation of baptism and creative life flowing. Now let's go to Genesis. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. I love this chapter. I love it. Now, I know you've been taught Genesis from day one. Praise God. We're going to look at it in a new light. Amen. I was talking to somebody been in the Lord for about 50 years. In the Lord, ministering about 35 something years. A dear, dear lady. I was talking to her about this and she goes, where'd you read that? Whose book did you get that from? I said, I got it from Genesis 1. And I'm telling you, she pulled out her Bible and opened it up. She goes, there it is. I said, hoot, there it is. All right, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void. That's very important. It was without form and void, but God was going to give it form and give it void. See, anytime God's going to birth something new, he's going to put it underwater. And so the earth God spoke the earth. He created heaven and earth, but the earth was completely submerged in water. And said that darkness was upon the face of the deep. See, everything, there was just water. Now, to your first eye, all you could see is water. But it was underneath that water, what was incubating, see, in the water. Now, you have to understand, this is living water here. There was no sin in the earth during creation. There was no sin. And so everything was pure life. The Garden of Eden represented pure life. The water that flowed out of the garden was pure life. The water in all creation was in perfect living creation. But God had put it under this incubation process. And look what happened here. And it said, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. He was hovering or brooding. That word moving is the Spirit of God, like a dove brooding and hovering, moving on the face of those waters. See, because God spoke it and said, let there be light. And once you see with the Holy Spirit, when he starts the hovering process, he starts the brooding process, he's going to put the church in baptism again, and he's going to brood over us, and he's going to speak into those things. It was all in the water. All that creative life was there. The whole earth was about to come up out of these waters, just like they did with Ezekiel, everything. But it took the Holy Spirit brooding, and it took him hovering. See, you've got Father, Son, and creation, and the Holy Spirit. All three of them are right there, and they're right there with you. Amen. Holy Ghost is brooding again over the face of the waters in you. To him that thirst, see, all that are thirst, come unto me and drink. For out of his innermost being will flow rivers, rivers, say rivers of living water. That's Christ, the fountain of living water. Then he said, this spake he of the Holy Ghost. But see, the Holy Ghost, he's the administration of that water. He's brooding. Where was the Holy Ghost when Jesus went to the baptism with John, when he submerged under that Jordan? You know why he went to the Jordan? Because Jordan was the gate to the promised land, and he had to be baptized into that gate. That's the same place children of Israel passed over, had to go through the waters into the promised land. Christ was the true gateway to the promised land. He was the door to the kingdom of God, and he had to be baptized right in that river. Where was the Holy Ghost? He was brooding. And as soon as he come out of the water, see, it was a new level. Jesus was one person going into that water. He was a whole another person when he came out. You're going to be one person going in, and you're going to be another going out. I'm going to be another man when I go in those waters. I can't get that in ankle deep water. I can't get that in knee deep. I got to get in waters to swim in. I'm going to be one person going in. When I come back out, Holy Ghost is going to descend upon me. He descended upon Christ. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son. This is my brand new heir right there. God reassigned the earth, all its resources, and all power and authority in heaven and earth to him coming up out of those waters. It was a representation of his death, burial, and resurrection. It was also a representation of God putting it in the water. He had to put his own Son in the water. Because anytime God does anything with a creative mantle, it must go into the water. Think about Elijah. And Elisha, just think about them for a minute. I mean, Elisha come to him, and he said, I'm going to follow you. And Elijah tried to shake him 4 or 5 times. You know why he had to shake him? He had to know, can you stay next to me? You can't stay next to everybody. You think you want that, but you better have the same walk as the one you want to get next to. Amen? Because the enemy wants to put people that will drag you down. You develop the wrong relationships and people will drag you down. I don't care how strong you are. You let them in your inner circle, they will drag you down. You love everybody, but you can't have everybody up in your inner circle fellowshipping with them day and night. You can't do that. You invite that dysfunctionalism in, you'll start acting dysfunctional. You don't even know where it come from because you let that atmosphere up in your life. You got to watch your relationships. Iron sharpeneth iron. Got to put you with people. He'll put you with the right people that can handle you. And you can handle them. Amen. You got to get up in them. And you draw and receive upon one another. And Elijah just tried to shake Elisha, tried to shake him. And every time Elisha said, surely as my soul, I will follow you. I will not leave thee. He kept telling, you stay here, I'm going. He goes, surely as you said, I'm going with you. The last one, he took him to Jordan. He said, I'm going on this Jordan. You stay here. What the prophet kept telling him? See, Elijah was a type of Christ. Christ wants to know, can you abide? Can you get with me? Anybody can be shaken off. The world can shake anybody off. But can you abide in me and my word abide in you? Can you stay next to me? If you want this mantle of creative power, you're going to have to get next to me. You're going to have to get up into him. You're going to have to abide. That's good preaching. And say amen. Say booyah. I'm going to go, Elijah took that mantle. He smote those waters. See, there's nothing creative is going to happen to that water. You're going to go through water. I'm telling you right now, you are going to go through living water. That's the only way to the creative mantles. Every creative mantle that rested came by way of water. Moses came by way of water. Elijah, see, Elijah's going to give his mantle up. And he smote those waters. Those two walked through the water. See, that was a form of baptism. They walked through on dry land, but they're walking through the water, see. And when they got there, all the prophets were looking from afar. There's just one's going to be next to him. He's going to get it. Everyone say, I'm going to get it. Everyone say, look at the Lord and say, I'm going to get it. Everyone just goes like this. Put your hand on your chest. You're not shaking me. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm going to abide. I told the Lord the other day, I said, I am not going to be shaken. I don't care what circumstance, what trial comes my way. I will not be shaken away from you. Because I can do nothing without him. The church doesn't seem to be able to do a very good job either. The answer is in the living water. You're not going to shake him. He's not going to shake you, amen. You're going to stay next to him. And then Elisha said, all right now, ask what you want, Elisha. You've gone through the water, ask. Thank God, Elisha, give me a double portion. And he said, you've asked a hard thing. Now notice what he says, if you see me in my ascension, my resurrection. That's the same way with Christ. Can you see me in my resurrection? Can you get with me in my resurrection? Can you move into a place of communion? Can you move into a place of abiding? Can you see me? And he saw the chariot come and pick him up, and that mantle fell down. He grabbed that mantle, went straight to the river. He knew the mantle had authority with waters. You study Elisha's life. He had 7, 8 massive miracles with water. The generals are going to war and they were out of water and they called for Elisha. And he said, it's not even going to rain. But what I want you to do is go and dig. Dig as much as you can. Dig trenches to hold the water. Dig pits to hold the water because water's coming. There's going to be neither wind or rain, but God's going to come fill all these trenches up with water. So he took that mantle. He knew that mantle had authority with the water, and he smote the river. He says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smites the water because he knew if he got that mantle of creative power, it was going to have authority with the waters. Booyah! I want authority with living waters. That is my prayer. Give me, grant me authority with living water. I want to know the Holy Ghost. He's going to be around the water. He was there in Genesis. As soon as Noah's boat was the first day, he sent that dove out. See, he's going to hover over the water. See, Holy Ghost can always be around the water. Christ come up out of that water and God granted him. He ordained him right there for his ministry. Even Peter was baptized. Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you? You remember they were in John 20? They were in that boat out on the waters and said they were out a ways. And Christ, he was on the land. He was making them fish and bread. Remember that? He says, have you caught anything? Well, you know, Peter didn't catch anything. He never could catch anything. He said, cast the net on the right side. And when he did, he filled the boat with 153 fish. And soon as Peter realized that, you know what he did? He said he girded his fisher coat on him and he cast himself into the sea. None of the other disciples did that. That was a form of baptism. He come out of that water soaking wet. Come to the Lord and the Lord ordains him. He said, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep. He was ordaining him right out of water. The man was dripping wet in water and he's getting ordained on the spot. He says, you're about to carry my power, boy, with all your failures. Even your denial, even you walked on water and sank, you are about to carry the power of the early church. My glory clouds are going to rest upon you. My power is going to rest upon you. Dripping wet. He's ordained out of the water.
Say hallelujah.
God does a lot of stuff with water. It's all in the living water now. Amen. Mm-mm-mm. You know that glory cloud? The Holy Spirit unlocked the mystery of the glory cloud. There is glory clouds. You know that, don't you? Shekinah glory, visible manifestations of God's glory in cloud form, fills the temple, fills the church. It was on Peter, said his shadow passing by. That was a glory cloud upon him. That wasn't a shadow from the sun. Come on, give me a revelation break. Give me a Pentecostal break. That was glory upon him. That glory was upon him. He walked, man. He was just like Jesus when he walked, that power. Remind me to talk to you about the clouds before we close here. So Holy Spirit is hovering. So we've covered Elijah, we've covered Christ, we've covered Peter, we've covered Ezekiel, we've covered Moses. Man, before we're through, we'll be from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Now, Holy Ghost is hovering over the waters. Earth is still in the water. All creative things are still in the water. But God's going to do something mightily here. Now look at verse 6. Love it. And God said, now let there be a firmament, an expanse, a space, a canopy, an atmosphere. Verse 6, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Very important. Divide the waters. You know what he did? He took the waters, and he took them, and he separated the waters. Waters in the atmosphere, waters in the seas. It's still nothing but light, and water. Water, atmosphere, and water. That's all there was. Now, in the early days, when God stretched that water out, you know it didn't rain to Noah's day. You know that, don't you? God told Noah to build a boat. Took him 100 years. And they asked Noah, what are you doing? Noah, the inheritor of the earth. When he stepped off of that boat, he owned the whole earth. Him and 8 people. That's a pretty good deal, amen? I mean, you're going to go through water, Noah, but when we're done, you're going to own everything. When you step off, the whole earth is yours. Talk about inheritance by way of water. Wow! When he went in, he said, yeah, I'm building a boat. What is a boat? Well, it's going to float. Why? He goes, because there's going to be rain out of heaven. And they said, what is that? Rain. Yeah, water's going to fall from the sky. Psst, come here, Noah. All the counselors of the city got together. Who told you that? Well, God told me. Could you imagine me in ridicule for 100 years building that ark? Only 8 people got in there. There's not very many people believed him. Rain out of heaven, rain out of the sky. Noah, the earth is watered by fountains. There is no rain that comes out of the sky. Noah, God told you. Uh-huh. You wouldn't have wanted his job for the first 100 years. You would have definitely wanted his job when they come up out of that ark, because everything was his. When you go through the water, it's going to make you an inheritor of the earth. When you drink of the living water, and he takes you out into the waters, you're going to come out as an inheritor. You're going to inherit cities and homes you didn't build. Lots of it. And so he divides the water from the water. Puts the waters in the atmosphere. Now, just because all that water was stretched up out in the atmosphere, he literally stretched water out in the atmosphere. There was a huge chunk of it up there. In fact, it was so different during that time. Go to verse 7. And God made the firmament. Divided the waters which were under the firmament and the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So there's water stretched out above the atmosphere, and then there's water in the sea, and there's light still. Now, you got to get this picture. It's a perfect picture of baptism. Water from beneath, water from above. Everything God does is surrounded by water. Everything God was going to do, his finest creation, he's going to draw the earth up out of the water. Actually, he's going to part those waters below. He's going to pull them back. And all his creation had been incubating in that water. See, Holy Spirit was hovering over that water for a reason. He was hovering over the creation of the earth as God spoke it, but it was under the water. It wasn't to be seen until it was ready. Just like a baby has to sit in that womb till it's ready. Can't bring it out too soon, but it's incubating. God put the mystery of creative life in nature itself. It's no different in the spirit. You want something new, it's going to have to be incubate from living water. To him that had ears to hear today. You can't be standing in dry, cracked, desert, arid region and say, God, give me a revival. All he'll do is come and pour some water on you. But that's not going to grow into an oasis of glory. You're going to have to get where there's water. You're going to have to find water like Isaac did. There was a famine in the land. There's financial famines coming to the world, but not to those who know how to find water. See, Isaac, he dug the wells of Abraham. He knew there was water. Nobody could find water. When you can find water and nobody's got water, you're going to be a very rich person. Amen? And that water started springing up, and all his harvest that he reaped 100-fold. I love those guys that say, you know, you sow in famine, give, you'll reap 100-fold. How about sowing and digging for water? Amen? Dig for the living water. When nobody's got it and you got it, you got it. Everyone say, I got it. You got to dig and open that fountain up. You got to dig and open that fountain wide. He found out. Well, see, notice he dug the wells of Abraham. What was Abraham's call? He prophesied a seed that would come, that would cover the earth. How about this? He prophesied a fountain would come in the earth. Christ, the fountain of living waters. That was what was up in Abraham's well. Truly, in the promises of God, it was the fountain that was going to get released for humanity. Amen? That fountain was going to get released, and God put that well up in you. Abraham's promises, Abraham's wells, they're all up in me right now. All those promises are there because Christ is up in me, and he's a fountain of living water. To him that thirsts, I will give him to drink first. Freely of the fountain of the water of life. I know that's good. Hallelujah. Everyone say amen. God made a firmament, verse 7. Verse 8, God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning there was a second day. Oh, I love it. Verse 9, get this. Oh, there's an anointing up in here right now. Ooh, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Let my incubation, let my finest creation appear. Let the mountains appear. Let the hills appear. Let the glory of my creation appear out of the waters. And he took those waters and he stretched them and pulled them straight down. And there was his finest creation, earth itself, land. Inheritance, beauty, all of this was perfect in beauty because there was no sin. You're talking about every living thing. That earth come up out of that water and said, oh, look at that. That's like a baby being birthed out of the water. It comes out of the water. That water stretched. See, the water's broke. You know, you mothers know when the water breaks, it's ready to come. Those waters broke and they came back and there it was. Oh, there it is. What do you have incubating inside you? You better get it in the water. You can't be dry and cracked and desert and arid and think you're going to birth something. You got to get in the water. You got to be a well-watered garden. My soul is a watered garden. And I will not sorrow anymore at all. You guide me continually, satisfying my soul in the drought, making fat my spiritual bones. I used to say making fat my bones. I'm not confessing that no more. So I say making fat my spiritual bones. Hallelujah. And he said, I am as a watered garden. I am as a fountain whose waters fail not. Oh, I say that every day. He says, the water I'll give you will be in you a wellspring of water that'll spring up, that'll bubble up continually for eternity. I said, I have a fountain whose waters fail not. I have a fountain whose waters fail not. They're going to flow. Amen. So up comes the earth. Whew. Oh, that must have been a beautiful day. Oh, man. God called the dry land earth, and the waters he called seas. Now, go to Psalms 104 for a minute and show you something wonderful. Psalms 104, verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever, who covers it with the deep as with a garment. Ha! Did you see that? He covered the deep, stretched the water over it, see? Stretched the water over the earth while he was creating it. He said, I'm going to cover you for a while. Everybody needs to be covered. I need some incubation going on here. I need some hovering, and he stretched that garment over the deep, see? When I pray, I said, oh, Father, stretch your living waters in me. Now, notice in creation, what did he do? What did he do before that earth come up? He separated the waters. He had waters below, which the earth was in. He stretched those waters back and pulled the earth, but he had water above too. But now, we know, just scientifically, when there's water in the atmosphere, that will create precipitation and rain will come out of it. But that water never released from the heavens until Noah's day. Sad day in the earth when God said, let the waters from the deep, let the fountains of the deep open, and let the windows of heaven from above, all that water he put up in the atmosphere, whoosh. That's how it flooded so fast. All that water and just flooded the earth. Said it covered the hills, covered the mountains 15 cubits, 22 feet above the highest mountain, Mount Everest. The water went 22 feet above it. Everyone say, wow. He released the waters that were in the heavens, see. What was those waters doing? In the beginning, it wasn't like this. God stretched that water over the heaven. Everything was perfect temperature all the time. There wasn't this major hot days and cold days. That water acted as a barrier, and mankind and every living thing lived under a canopy of God's blessing before the fall. See, they lived in this place. That's why it was the cool of the garden, because everything was perfect. The Garden of Eden was in the air because that water above was regulating the temperatures and keeping out all the stuff. See, it was like a covering. God had all of creation baptized in water in the beginning. Even when the earth came out, it was still baptized in water because he stretched the waters above. Everyone say, wow, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Especially if I can get that water flowing up in me and get the Holy Ghost hovering over me. You know what clouds are? They're water. That's what a cloud is. Tiny frozen particles of water that form in clouds, and when too much water gets in there, it'll rain, it'll drop, it'll get too heavy. So I've already uncovered by the Holy Ghost the mystery of a glory cloud. I'm going to tell you something. When the living waters start flowing in the church, you're going to see glory clouds. You know why? Because that water going to break out in the atmosphere. And when the water gets up in the atmosphere, what forms? Clouds. That is living water in the form. Take that, leave it, I don't care, but that's what I see it. If it's a glory cloud, it's living water manifesting in the atmosphere. I like that. I like it. I'll take it. Praise God. All right, look at this. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Everyone say, abundantly. What bring forth abundantly? Waters. And the moving creature that hath life. And the fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl. All the aquatic fish of the sea and all the birds came out of the water. Birth right up out of the water. And then the earth brought forth all of the other creation. See how God brings things out of water? He wants to do something new. He brings it out of the water. He said, let the seas be filled with water. See, when God, when he has water right, he'll speak into it, see. When he gets the water around you, you can imagine if your life is full of disharmony and your life is full of a wilderness, dry, thirsty, cracked land, you're not going to birth out of something like that. You're kidding yourself. The best you're going to get in a situation like that is a visitation from God to tell you, hey, and he'll come and he'll give you rain on your land, but you're going to have to get an oasis going if you want to birth something, if you want to get out of where you are. It's ludicrous to think that we can keep doing the same thing and get another result. Instead of a new year, they're just going to get another year. How many of you want another year? I don't want another year. I want a new year. I want something new. I'm going to get it all under the water. I'm going to live in living water. I'm going to drink from that fountain. You know how many people are walking around with the promises of God unfulfilled? Just because you've got a promise, you've got to get that promise in living water. You got to get it all soaking. Some of the greatest revivalists of all time all had one major, major theme. They were soakers. They lived in a soaking presence of the Lord. I heard a guy the other day talk about Evan Roberts released that atmospheric revival and over there in Wales. He said he lived suspended between heaven and earth, the people around him. He said he was constantly in the presence of the Lord, swimming in God's glory, caught up. That's how it works, amen? But I like this, verse 22, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. It's amazing. Fruitfulness and multiplication comes out of the water. Go to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll close with this. Genesis 2, verse 6, and there went up a mist. NIV, streams. The New Living Translation called it springs. A mist, a vapor, streams and springs, water from the earth. Now he's about to do his finest creation ever. Do you think man was going to be born from no less? Well, man was formed from the dust. Yes, he was, but he was formed from the dust that was thoroughly saturated in water before he formed him. He said, there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Everyone say whole face of the ground. The whole face of the ground. Have you ever watered the whole face of your yard? It's going to get soft. It's going to get moistened. The ground's going to be ready to bring forth because it was under baptism of water, see? Don't water your flower beds and find out what happens. They'll wither. Amen? Water that earth, see? Just study creation. The mysteries of God are all up in creation. He watered the whole face of the earth, and he says, now, verse 7, and let God formed man out of the dust of the ground. But he formed man out of the dust of the ground that had been covered in water. The fountains released, covered the earth in water. And he says, now that ground is ready to bring forth. See, the earth is ready to bring forth. And he pulled that dust. It was mud. Remember when he made the mud and wiped it on the guy's eyes? It's water. I'm saying he had that living water. All this is living. It's not like you now know it now. You got to understand that. Everything was alive back then. It was not subjected to the law of sin and death. Everything was pure and living. The water was pure. The ground was pure. Everything had perfect life to it. And then God covered the earth. And then he pulled that dirt, that land that had been soaked in the water, and says, now we're going to make man. And he breathed upon him the breath, the ruach of God. And man was made. Isn't that incredible? And from that point, once Adam and Eve said, every living thing will be born of water. Every person in the world will come out of a womb of water. Everything's going to come alive in the creative realm is going to come out of water. We are going to see the living waters bring forth the creative realm of God. And here's the kicker. God has hid his answer into every single born-again believer on the face of the earth has a fountain in them. They may not know how to get it released yet. They have not taken time to release it. But when that fountain gets released, that you're talking about millions of fountains releasing upon the face of the earth. The living waters of God are going to change the world in the last days. How that everything that's dead is going to live again. Because God's going to open his greatest fountain in the earth, and that is you and I. And he has millions and hundreds of millions of fountains all over the world. It's not us that has to get this job done. It's that living water in us that's going to get the job done. I myself can do nothing, but what I got inside me can do all things. You got to believe in that fountain, because it is Christ himself, and he is the life that's from above. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everyone said amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Woo! Booyah! Booyah!